came up with your line. More comfortable that way. Well, can we turn to the 25th of Luke? Anybody turning? No, it's not there. It's Luke 24, verse 32. There is no 25th of Luke. John Walden pulled that on us at the Covenant Heights. Had us all turn to something that wasn't there. Luke 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It starts in the middle of the verse. But his word was in my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Well, that's the scripture I wanted to point out tonight. In case you're wondering, this book, Hearts of Fire by Vance Havner, was the main reason that I chose those two verses tonight. Jeremiah in 20th chapter in verse 9 was about ready to quit preaching because he thought he had done wrong. He thought he had preached violence. But he wanted to quit, but he couldn't because the Lord wouldn't let him. And he built in Jeremiah's bones, as it were, a fire. He gave him a real want, a real desire to preach for Christ. And in the 24th of Luke, the disciples are walking along the road after, this is the third day after Christ has been crucified. And they're kind of half believing, half not believing. But they're talking of something that if they would listen to their own words, it would literally build a fire in their hearts. The holy heartburn, as it were, what I wanted to talk about tonight. Because I myself have been suffering from a bad case of a cold heart. I just haven't had the desire to stand up for Christ. I've come to meeting on Sunday morning and stay for Bible study. I haven't been too faithful about coming Sunday nights in the past, but I have been the last few weeks. I haven't made it out to Friday night yet. I just hadn't had a desire. And then my wife started reading Hearts of Fire, a book that Uncle Willard gave me in 1959. I started reading this book myself four different times and never got past the first chapter. Why didn't I get past the first chapter? Because Mr. Vance Havner stepped on my toes and I didn't like it. I've got big feet and I know they're hard to miss. I just don't like people trotting on my spiritual toes. I was like the people in a church that are frozen together. They're drawn together, but they're there, they're cold, they're frozen together. And we should be melted together with the warmth of the love of Christ. The book speaks of a time in England when people were they were really degraded. It was a time when they said the Puritans were dead and the Methodists weren't yet born. And they talked about people being drunk, and it was advertised on the streets you could get drunk for a penny. And under that it said you could get dead drunk for 2 pennies. But you know, they never once had what I'd like to add to that. Tonight, you can get drunk on Christ free. You can get so filled up with the Holy Spirit that people can accuse you of being drunk. But for Christ's sake, you could be drunk. You could be overflowing, as it were, with the love of Christ. I haven't been that way. There are different kinds of sicknesses spoken of in this first chapter that made me start wondering what he meant. I just glanced into it about 3 days ago, or 4 days ago at work. I took it to work to read it on my lunch hour, because I've been spending a rather lonely lunch hour. The fellows at work, when I first started this shift, everybody's curious to find out what you're like. They want to find out what your weak spots are so they can step on you. Well, I had a weak spot, all right. It was Christ. I hadn't studied enough. I didn't have the desire to study. I was cold. But they found out that I had Christ, and that I was proud of him. So since then, I've been eating lunch alone. And I don't know, maybe it's a blessing, because now I'm not ashamed to give thanks for my lunch, even when there's somebody around me. I had one man ask me, "What are you doing? Sleeping while you're supposed to be eating? You only get 20 minutes. How can you afford to sleep instead of eating?" When I told him what I was doing, he's never come back and sat beside me anymore. He doesn't like that. He's a man that spent 6 years in a Lutheran seminary and quit because he couldn't believe in God after 6 years. But one of the things that the Vance Havner spoke of was in connection with John Wesley, said he had spiritual fever, a holy fever. He was running a spiritual temperature. The man was on fire for Christ. He had found Christ and he wanted to tell the world, and he did. Some of his teachings were twisted. Some of them weren't. He wasn't right in all ways. But he was right about Christ. He wanted to preach Christ. I come here to what I assume is a more proper, more scriptural way of meeting than the Methodist Church that John Wesley is supposed to have helped be one of the cornerstones of. But I don't have the fire that John Wesley had for Christ. There's nothing in here but ice. There wasn't, anyway. It's starting to melt now, slowly. And with God's help, I'll be able to get a little fire in there. But after these few diseases that he mentions, the spiritual fever, and he says, how do we grow? How do we dissolve this ice cube, as it were? How do we start a fire? And we've got the all-important six-letter word, prayer. We've got to get down on our knees and ask for a fire. Christ has to strike the match to start the fire. He's got to furnish the kindling to burn. You know, we've got all kinds of heads around here. Some of us are getting a little sparse in hair. Some of us got it cut off. But there are other kinds of heads in connection with the heartburn that are mentioned in here. There's the figure heads, the sore heads, the dead heads, and the one that I found myself being not too long ago, a hot head. And I can't see any of these that are right. A figurehead is one who would stand at the front of a church, an assembly, any form of meeting, and say he's the head. Nothing spiritually, but he's the man. Sorehead is one somebody steps on his toes like they did me, and he goes around carrying a grudge about it. And from 1959 till 1963, he leaves it on a shelf. The deadhead, well, I'm dead a little lower than that, but the deadhead is one who just doesn't care. Then there's the hothead. Yeah. We all know the friction that happened when we first started meeting out here. But I'm still carrying a little friction around in me. I still get hot under the collar thinking of the actions that I felt toward 45th and Hamilton, and that some of them, I'm sure, felt toward us. This is wrong. We had our eyes on each other, not on Christ. But once again, there's an answer for it. The same six-letter word, prayer. No. In some places, extremism is a naughty word. a nasty word. You don't want to be to an extreme. You don't want to be to the left or to the right. You don't want to be too liberal. You don't want to be too conservative. But you know, some of us never have to worry about getting out on a limb. You're like I am, afraid to climb the tree to get out on a limb. You can't take a stand for anything without opening your mouth. You just can't sit there and nod. You've got to stand up and say something. There's another type of, I would call it a palsy that he mentioned. The bad case of spasms where your head and your hands seem to outrun your heart. Your head's moving all the time, you're nodding yes, agreeing to what the man's saying, oh, he's so right, you're just nodding right along. After meeting, you pump his hand, you're just so glad he came. And you're thinking in your heart, in your mind, what'd he say? Stood up there and babbled on for almost 2.5 minutes, never said a word. But if you knew his heart, you'd know what he feels. In my heart tonight, there's a lot of shame. But in my heart, there's a lot of pride, too, for Christ. And I just pray that he will continue to open my mouth. Maybe next time he'll exceed 1.5 minutes or 2 minutes or maybe 3 minutes. I don't know. But I will say this. I'm glad we're not like a group that Mr. Havner tells about in here. I'd like to read to you about these people. Of course, there is a false Pharisaic separation. I'll put in there among men, separation, those who would hold themselves apart, that renounce things, but never self. A church full of such people would be remarkable. They would go to church, read the Bible, pray in public, give a tithe, be strict in conduct, and go to hell. Such separatists make much of not dancing, smoking, going to the theater, but know nothing of real spirituality. And I would just like to close tonight, and I would like to thank God that there are those around me who care enough to try and keep me from being one of these. And there is that within me that Christ gave me that is going to keep me from this if I let it have its way. And I just want it to be my prayer tonight that no matter what meetings the Lord wills that we start here or that we carry on or already started that I have not been to, that He will give me a desire, a real desire, not only to come to them, but to take part. That's all I have to say tonight, except that I just pray that each one of us, if we have a little holy heartburn started in us, that He'll kindle that fire, that we might be like a man that I read about in a little pamphlet that my grandmother gave us, who wanted to burn out for Christ.
It's the cross of Jesus.